The title to today's devotion is called I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Christ. At the age of 11, I experienced what the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, truly meant. Reading the rest of the quotation by Paul, we can come to understand how this can happen. It tells us how it is possible to have that boldness to say, I am not ashamed to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. The verse in its completion reads in Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The living God spoke into my heart. There was an almighty change in my heart, a buoyancy and joy in my heart. It was something I wanted to share with everyone, including my fellow Christians. But there was no one willing or able to share with or talk to me. Soon after my conversion, I moved up to the senior school. There I shared my faith, always carrying a Bible in my pocket and a hymn book given to each pupil for singing in morning assembly. Back home, I had a deep desire to discuss my newfound faith with my fellow churchgoers, but sadly, the Word of God was not spoken about, only in church. Each Sunday I would hope some visiting preacher would preach with a sincerity that warmed my heart, someone I could talk to about the Lord. I was to discover a fundamental truth. I cannot enjoy and experience the deep joy and reality of my faith until I have experienced it for myself. One young Christian who I mentored later in my Christian experience said to me, Some fellow Christians need to be born again, again. In my experience, I venture to say that the richness of person's conversion, their experience of being born again, will foreshadow the level of commitment and lifestyle in their Christian life. They will grow in stature in their faith. They will be like the Apostle Paul, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Remember the dramatic conversion of Paul. He was persecuting the church, having them killed or thrown into prison. But Paul's Damascus encounter with Jesus dramatically changed his life. He became a fervent warrior and soldier of Jesus Christ. Even today I can share with some of my fellow Christians some of the wonderful truths God has shown me in the Bible, eager to share how I have been given the opportunity to share the gospel with someone who is searching, or when going through a time of difficulty, share how God has miraculously helped me through, resulting in little or no response from my hearers. I press the point again. You cannot enjoy and experience the deep reality of your faith until you've experienced it for yourself. Unless you have had that moment-by-moment life of walking with Jesus, unless you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit warming your heart every time Jesus is mentioned, every time the Bible is spoken about, every time you hear a testimony of God working in people's lives, you will not know that overwhelming joy in your heart. Because you do not know the joy of your salvation. You will not be able to transmit that joy to those you meet. You will be ineffective. It will fall on deaf ears. I realize more and more what a privileged position I have as one of God's chosen people. We read what Jesus said in Matthew 22:14, For many are called, but few are chosen. Within God's family of Christians, some are chosen for a special mission. What a privilege. Sadly, we meet many rocking chair Christians. They enjoy plenty of activity, but sadly, they're going nowhere. As one fellow Christian said to me, we need what we know in our minds to move into our heart. We have to ask ourselves, do I really know what it is to serve God? Do I really know what it is the service God has called me and given me to do? Do I enhance and encourage the lives of my fellow Christians? Does my life touch the world and transmit God's love? John the Apostle received a stern warning directly from the Lord for the church of Laodicea. This is what Jesus said to John in Revelation 3:15-18. I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You said, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need anything. But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. The church in Laodicea was asleep. There was no life in the church, no compassion for the lost, no looking outwards to see the condition of life mankind was in. I am reminded of a dramatic vision Captain William Booth had, the founder of the Salvation Army. He was pondering the state of mankind. He could see millions of people eating and drinking, enjoying themselves, unaware of the fate they would meet when they leave this world. Then he had this vision. He saw dark thunder clouds with lightning. He saw an island towering up into the clouds, with the seashore being pounded by the restless sea with its breakers thundering onto the shore. Captain Booth goes on to say, in that ocean I thought I saw myriads of poor human beings plunging and floating, shouting and shrieking, cursing and struggling and drowning. And as they cursed and screamed, they rose and shrieked again, and then they sank to rise no more. As I saw out of this dark, angry ocean, a mighty rock that rose up with its summit towering high above the black clouds that overhung the stormy sea. And all around the base of this great rock I saw a vast platform. Onto this platform I saw with delight a number of the poor, struggling, drowning wretches continually climbing out of the angry sea. And I saw that a few of those who were already safe on the platform were helping the poor creatures still in the angry waves to reach the place of safety. On looking more closely, I found a number of those who had been rescued industriously working and scheming by ladders, ropes, boats and other means more effective to deliver the poor strugglers out of the sea. Here and there were some who actually jumped into the water, regardless of the consequences of their passion, to rescue the perishing. And I hardly knew which saddened me the most. The sight of the poor drowning people climbing onto the rocks reaching a place of safety, or the devotion and self-sacrifice of those whose whole being was wrapped up in the effort of their deliverance. As I looked on, I saw that the occupants of that platform were quite a mixed company. That is, they were divided into different sets or classes, and they occupied themselves with different pleasures and employments. But only a few of them seemed to make it their business to get the people out to the sea. But what puzzled me most was the fact that, though all of them had been rescued at one time or another from the ocean, nearly everyone seemed to have forgotten all about it. Anyway, it seemed the memory of its darkness and danger no longer troubled them at all. And what seemed equally strange and perplexing to me was that these people did not even seem to have any care. That is, any agonizing care about the poor, perishing ones who were struggling and drowning right before their very eyes, many of whom were their own husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, and even their own children. Now, this astonishing unconcern could not have been the result of ignorance or lack of knowledge, because they lived right there in full sight of it all and even talked about it sometimes, many even regular to hear lectures and sermons in what the awful state of these poor drowning creatures was described. What a vivid vision God gave Captain Booth. We do not understand, we are not able to begin to measure the enormity and the destination of mankind who have not met the Saviour Jesus and not asked him to be their Lord and Saviour. Many Christians can see the dire need in the world and are continuing to carry on their lives with no care, as if it doesn't matter. They have forgotten where they were and what fate lay ahead for them before they asked Jesus into their lives. They had forgotten what the songwriter portrays in what he had found. O Christ, in thee my soul has found, and found in you alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I want to share another testimony about a lady whose name is Doreen Irving, author of the book Witchcraft to Christ. She was brought up attending a church run by the Salvation Army, but, sadly, although she was asked often by her Sunday school teacher to give her life to Christ, she delayed and eventually left home. Her father had an affair, remarried, with her mother leaving the home. Doreen ended up on the streets, drinking alcohol, taking drugs, and fell into prostitution. One day, in a dark and dingy nightclub, she overheard two girls talking about a satanic temple. Speaking to them, she was encouraged to visit a witch coven. Sadly, she arose to become a high-ranking witch. For a short while, she was queen of the witches with great spiritual power. Under their rule, she was not allowed to own any type of Christian literature, although she secretly kept a hymn book, Golden Bells. Doreen had a restless spirit. She was not sure if there was a hell. And what if it was real, what hell was really like? While walking the streets in Bristol, she saw a billboard which read, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God." Doreen was irritated by the verse from the Bible and knew she was by no means pure. No way would she be favoured by God, so she tore the whole billboard down. Then she came across another billboard advertising for folk to come and hear Eric Hutchins speaking. Although she did not have a clue who he was or what he would be talking about. One day, she saw a group of folk walking down the street towards her. She did not know who they were until she noticed they were carrying Bibles. She decided to drift along with them and entered into the hall where Eric Hutchins was going to speak. On entering the building, she saw a number of senior men sat on the stage with a large choir sat behind. The service commenced with a time of communal hymn singing, and then a hush came over this audience. Doreen decided it was time to leave, but not before a young lady got up to sing a solo. As Doreen listened to the singer, she was captivated by the words of the song and so touched by the spirit of the lady singing. She sensed the words were personal and so real to the singer. These are the words to that song. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I've found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me. Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Doreen knew that no one cared about her. She knew no one loved her, but here she could see and feel that Jesus was able to love her. Then Eric Hutchins got up to him and began to speak. He opened by saying, "If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, you're lost. You're dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says you are bound." He laid such emphasis on the word bound, I nearly fell off my seat in fright. He was right, though. I knew it. I jumped to my feet and shouted, "He's right. I am bound." A shocked silence fell on the vast congregation, not to mention the evangelist himself, who was unable to speak for a few moments. When he continued, he spoke with added fervour, "If you go to church Sunday by Sunday and do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, you too are lost." My ears pricked up at that moment and I wanted to resound a hearty, "Hear, hear," but I was aware that people were watching me and I refrained. "He's having a go at the church members," I thought, "so he's not such a bad sort." Eric Hutchins went on to say that Jesus died for the whosoever, and if they turn to him, he will set them free from the bondage of Satan. My heart was beating very quickly indeed. Could he set me free? I remember no more of that parable sermon. At the close, the evangelist made an appeal. "Come to the Jesus tonight. Come out to the front." People began coming forwards as the chorus sang, just as the choir sang, "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed free, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Chains seemed to bind me to my seat as I heard the audible voice of Dolbus. That was one of the evil spirits inside me, inside Doreen. "You are mine. You cannot go. It's too late for you. You are mine." I was shaking from head to foot. A great battle was going on, a battle with the powers of darkness and Satan. My evil master was fighting to hold on to me. The choir sang again another verse. "Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflicts, many doubts, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come." By some tremendous miracle, I was on my feet, making my way to the front, all the while fighting the powers of darkness within and realizing, too, that someone greater than Satan had come to my aid. Satan was losing the battle. Satan was losing his slave. Jesus, who cared for me, even me in all my sin and shame, was tenderly wooing and winning me back and wooing my black and sinful heart. I was now standing at the front. Tears were falling down my painted face. "I'm coming, Jesus," I said softly. "Please take the darkness away." I had no understanding of how to pray, but do we need to know how? The Saviour heard the cry of my heart and accepted me just as I was. What rejoicing there must have been in heaven that night. Doreen spoke to a counsel afterwards who led her to Jesus. What followed were many months of help by mature Christians who had understanding of the ways of witchcraft, because Doreen was carrying many evil spirits which needed casting out. Like when Jesus cast out the demons which went into a herd of pigs, as recorded in Matthew 8:28-33. When he, Jesus, arrived at the other side of the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass their way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from there, a large herd of pigs were feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. How true the words of the hymn, "And Can It Be?" The fourth verse says, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thy eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeons flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Doreen became a prominent Christian speaker, travelling all over the world to tell the amazing work that Jesus had done in her heart and set her free, with many coming to know Jesus through her testimony. Doreen's experience of being bound by Satan and her glorious release by Jesus catapulted her into a life full out to serving her Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. A friend of mine often made this statement, "The lower I go, the higher I rise." Doreen had sunk very low, but Jesus raised her up to become a mighty warrior, proclaiming, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." David the psalmist was able to say in Psalm 41-4, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." When we have experienced the deep richness of God's love and know his forgiveness, we have the joy, a liberty, and a passion to share in that love with others. My wife lost her first husband at the age of 38, leaving her with two teenage boys who were devastated. At the funeral, one of the hymns Chris chose was, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father." Then they sang the last verse, which reads, "Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000s besides." Chris, who was in a deep sense of grief, asked herself, how could she ever again have bright hopes for tomorrow with 10,000 blessings besides? Shortly afterwards, Chris was invited by a friend to go on a retreat to Lee Abbey in North Devon. She thought she was going to help others who had experienced bereavement like her. But no, it was Chris who needed healing from a broken heart caused by the hurt and felt there was something missing deep inside. When you marry, you're truly one, as the Bible says. Therefore, when your partner dies, you feel it deep inside because part of you is missing. It was with the untimely death of losing her husband so young. Each evening, everyone joined together to praise and worship God. The presence of the Holy Spirit was tangibly real in those times of worship. In one of the sessions, Chris experienced an overwhelming touch of the Holy Spirit. She spent some time enjoying the cocooning love and embrace of the Holy Spirit. After a time, when she came to, she felt something very special had happened to her. She had an overwhelming sense of God's love and came to realize God had healed her broken heart and filled that space deep inside with his love and joy by the Holy Spirit. Afterwards, Chris felt Jesus encourage her to go for a walk outside into the sunshine and sit down on a bench. There she heard a beautiful voice singing in a rich and melodious tone. Chris realized it was her that was singing. Then she felt the Lord prompting her to walk up onto the hilltop, and looking around, she saw the beauty in the flowers, the trees, and beware of the birds singing. God showed her his joy and pleasure of his creation. It was as if for the first time she experienced the beauty of God's handiwork. Chris was reminded of the hymn titled "Love with Everlasting Love." When God healed her and filled her with his Holy Spirit, the second verse became alive, which reads, "Heaven above is deeper blue, earth around is sweeter green, that which grows in every hue, Christless eyes have never seen. Birds in song his glory show, flowers with richer beauty shine. Since I know, as now I know, I am his, and he is mine. Remember, when Jesus left this earth, he left a group of weak, nervous disciples. Their master had left them. They felt lonely and vulnerable. So they thought. But just before Jesus went back into heaven, we read in Acts 1:4-8, on one occasion while he, that is Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or date the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And some days later, after Jesus had returned to heaven, we read in Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Peter went boldly onto the streets with the other disciples in Jerusalem and preached to the crowd. We read in Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Today, God is still sending his Holy Spirit onto and into the lives of his people, the church. That is what happened to me the day I gave my life to Jesus. I had a deep joy. I was walking on air. I had a deep desire to tell others of what God has done for me. God became the most important person in my life. Chris also had that desire to tell others of his great love and healing power. As I look back, during my lifetime, God brought special people into my life who would guide me at various stages of my Christian walk. God had a very special job for me. While reading his word and listening to other Christians, he often impresses on me words of wisdom which are deeply embedded in my heart, which have proved vital in my service for him. One final thought. Just after Jesus had died on the cross, two of his disciples were walking along a road very disillusioned and lost at Jesus' dying. While walking along the road, Jesus himself came and walked with them, but they did not recognize him. Jesus began to explain why he died. They were so amazed at what he said. Then they encouraged Jesus to come and join them for a meal. After the meal, Jesus then broke bread and with them, as he did on the night before he died. We read in Luke 24:30-35. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those who with them assembled together, and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. The two disciples knew the Lord, but I ask the question, do they really know the Lord intimately? You, my friend, can know the Lord, but do you recognize him walking beside you? Do you have a desire to hear his voice, and as a result of hearing his voice, be able to say like those two disciples, did not our hearts burn within us? I trust you will know the burning joy and fellowship what those two disciples experienced on the road to Emmaus, and like them, hurry to go and tell what God has done for you. Let us turn to the verse I have used as a title to this devotion in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Mothers are always ready to promote their children, excited when they have a new baby, excited to tell family and friends how their child is growing and developing. When we know the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives, will we be able to enjoy the richness of being a child of God? Will we be thrilled when we hear of folks being born again? Will we be thrilled when we hear a new Christian growing in the faith and starting to serve God? Will we get excited each time we hear any conversations connected with Jesus and the Word of God? But will we also have a longing, a passion to tell others what we have about God's wonderful plan of salvation? Will we witness God's power as we see folk being transformed and made anew? As the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. On our doorstep, there are many people who are suffering, wanting to know a way out of their situation. They're looking for purpose in their life. Jesus is the answer. Am I ready to go and tell? With each conversation we have with neighbours, family and friends, are we seeking an opportunity to share God's love with them? Let us read and then listen to a song which portrays the theme of this devotion. It reads, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all around can warm up in the glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on." What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding. The birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I have found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you are bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.